Thank you so much for joining us here at Queer at Heart. Today on the show, we have Shayna Sparling. How's it going?
I'm pretty good. I'm locked up in my apartment, but I'm doing well.
Good to hear. Well, not so good to hear because you're isolating and I'm sure it's a bit frustrating. Now, today, we're going to be talking about men who have sex with men and the different labels that they identify as and what their experiences are, because that's what your research is on.
Yeah.
Right? So how would you like to get into that? Like, what is the difference, you know, between, well, we know there is a difference, you know, people identify as queer. We're not sure exactly what that is, right?
Yeah.
But we know that people like to say, hey, I'm bi, I'm also gay.
Yeah, I think it's kind of an interesting newer trend in the kind of the labels people are using for themselves. Like the word queer has been around for a really long time. I mean, I'm sure your listeners all know, like, it used to be a slur and it's been reclaimed. And but not everyone uses it as a term. And like a lot of the research on who identifies as queer, like what are the demographics, what does it mean to identify as queer, is all relatively newer work. And I'm pretty lucky because working with the Engage study, we were able to, have a group of guys who all identify as male and all identify as, guys who are interested in having sex with other guys, come in and answer a whole bunch of questions and complete a whole bunch of measures, mm-hmm. including, a measure where we just asked them, so what sexual identity label do you prefer? And we ended up getting quite a lot of guys who picked queer as a label, which is pretty great because it gives us a chance to take a look at what are the differences between the guys who identify as queer compared to the guys who identify as bisexual compared to the guys who identify as gay. And we found a few differences between the groups that I thought were pretty interesting. One of the differences we found had to do just kind of like basic demographic differences. The guys who picked queer as their label tended to be younger in age. Right. Their average age was like 28.
Okay.
And whereas our other guys were over 30. They were like, the gay guys tended to be around 36, the bisexual guys were around 37. So they're like, that's a pretty big age gap.
Yeah. And what do you think is the reason why people in that age range decide they want to identify as queer as opposed to when they start, you know, moving over to, you know, their early mid 30s and decide, you know, actually, I want to go with gay or bi. What is that switch that goes off for people who decide all of a sudden this is the label I want to go by?
There could be a few things happening. One big thing that could be the difference is it could be a cohort effect. So that means that there's something different about the different ages of guys. So it could be that we have younger guys identifying as queer because there's something different in the society that these guys are growing up in. So it could be that, you know, with different media exposure in their growth formative years, they're picking queer as a more flexible label because they don't know which box they want to fit in, or they find the other boxes too limiting. So it could be like as they age, maybe some of these guys who identify as queer will decide, okay, like now that I'm older, I feel like I've solidified, or maybe solidified not quite right, but I've decided to switch my label to gay or to bi. Maybe they'll decide to switch their label later. Maybe they'll pick queer for the rest of their lives because they feel that queer really captures who they feel that they are. Maybe they feel that that captures their essence.
So like they could choose to stay labeled as queer, but still, you know, be mainly having sex with men and mainly be bisexual and still decide, okay, but they can kind of keep that to themselves and say, but I'm queer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. There's like a certain power that comes with picking a label that's a little more nebulous that people, because like one of the reasons why we're talking about it today is because like we're not exactly sure what does it mean to be queer. I mean, you have a sense of what it means to identify as bisexual and you have a sense of what it means to identify as a gay man. But I mean, we're talking about it today because we're not sure what it means to identify as queer, and that could have a lot of appeal.
Yeah, for sure. Is there a basic, like, base of a term for queer? Like, is there a basic definition where people, like, can use to build from and be like, okay, this is why I'm queer. This is, okay, this fits me better because, oh, I understand this. You know, do they build from a certain definition of what that means, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, I mean, what my data speak to a bit is, so like I mentioned, they tended to be younger in age, but they also tended to be higher educated, even though they're also younger. So we saw like a higher proportion of guys who had a bachelor degree or higher. Mm-hmm. So it could be that they are taking courses in university that are encouraging them to think more deeply about what the labels mean for themselves, and think more about how flexible sexuality really is. Mm-hmm. The more we learn about sexual orientation, the more we learn, like, you know, if you think of it in terms of like the Kinsey scale, where we have like people who are like a Kinsey zero are like heterosexual and like are only interested in having sex with somebody who's a different gender than them. Mm-hmm. Whereas like somebody who's like a Kinsey six is like very interested in only having sex with somebody who's the same gender. But there's like a whole range of numbers in between that. And so it could be that queer guys are showing more flexibility. We also see a difference in the gender identity labels that they tended to pick for themselves. So like, for example, our gay men, like the vast majority of the sample, like 98% of them, pick the gender identity of just man. Mm-hmm. And for our bisexual guys, again, like a huge proportion of them, like 88%, also picked man as their gender identity label. Mm-hmm. But in our queer guys, only like just under 70% were picking men. So we're seeing more of them picking identity labels like genderqueer or trans.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just looking at this, trying to figure out the Zoom screen here. So what is, okay, so the experiences that they have, so once they go into these labels and they go into whatever, their mid-30s, 37, 38, and they decide I want to be gay, bi, how does their experience, because like, you know, there is something called, you know, biphobia. People give, mm-hmm. tend to give bisexual people a very hard time. Like, you know, they must choose, or what do you mean you're gay, or whatever it is. What, I guess what I'm trying to say is, what is the outcome for them?
Well, one of the things that my data are showing is that the bisexual guys tended to be less open about their sexual identity, probably because of concern about this biphobia. The queer guys were the highest in terms of openness about their sexuality, but the bisexual guys were the lowest. And the bisexual guys also tended to report much lower social support, where the mm-hmm. queer guys were reporting a lot of social support. The queer guys are reporting a lot of engagement with their communities, significantly more compared to the bisexual and gay guys. And they also have more social support. But they also experience more kind of like everyday discrimination, mm-hmm. which was something that we weren't seeing in some of the other guys. So
the bi men.
The queer guys.
The queer guys.
The queer guys are experienced. So even though the bisexual guys are reporting less social support, the queer guys are showing more everyday discrimination signs. So they're experiencing kind of like more people hassling them about their label. And it could have to do with the fact that they've picked queer as their label. And so maybe they get some harassment around like what does queer mean, and people kind of harassing them around that. Yeah, like it's complicated. People's reactions to different labels.
It is very complicated. And what kind of discrimination are bisexual men facing when they are deciding, you know what, I'm not gonna identify as queer. I am actually bi. I know how I'm feeling. What is it that, what are their experiences in everyday society? And I don't think we actually talk about this enough. What is it that they experience? What is the discrimination? And do they get any support around that?
Well, it ends up being a terrible situation for some guy, for some bisexual guys, because they can experience rejection from like their friends and family around not being heterosexual. So they can experience heterosexism, but then they can also experience discrimination from the gay community because they're not monosexual. So they're not mm-hmm. interested in just having sex with one type of gender or one type of sex. They're interested in having sex with people of diverse genders, more than one gender. And so they kind of get harassment from the gay community for not like picking a side, and harassment from the heterosexual community for being atypical. And I think that's why we're seeing lower social support for them, because their straight friends might discriminate against them for doing something different, and their gay friends might discriminate against them because they're still having sex with girls sometimes.
Yeah, and like even when people aren't saying it, I'm sure they're thinking it. Like, you know, what is like, what the heck, you know, what the heck, why can't somebody choose? It's a very black and white situation for many people to be able to comprehend that kind of that choice of sexuality. And I could totally see it coming from such an umbrella term like queer, people being very judgmental. And it's interesting because, you know, everybody within this within the LGBTQ community, everybody suffers from discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, you know, judging each other on what we're choosing. And it's, you know, there is a fracture in how we communicate with each other, without a doubt. And there's got to be a way going forward. And I think that it's gotten better over the years. But I think that people feel like they need to understand it fully in order to accept it. You know, and I don't think that we need to understand anything. I think that we just need to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, we just need to accept that's what it is, and that's okay, in the same way I'm gay, in the same way I identify as queer, in the same way I identify as anything. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many flavors of people. I mean, when I talk with my students about sexual identity and gender identity, you know, and sexual activity, sexual orientations, the idea is, as long as things are consensual and no one's getting damage, no one's getting hurt. I mean, you know, if we're talking about BDSM, like that's consensual behavior, but you know, don't yuck someone else's yum.
Yeah, exactly. Don't yuck somebody else's yum. So, okay. So you're saying there is no real definition for queer.
I mean, I'm sure there are sociologists who are brilliant and amazing and are working on this, but in terms of like from a numbers perspective, the data are still coming in. Like often a lot of the research, the samples are so small of people who pick queer as their sexual identity label, it's really hard to take a look at what the differences are. And like in terms of demographics.
It's obvious that it has to do with age a little bit, and who knows, maybe even maturity. And to say, because it feels like it's a very, not to say as somebody in your 30s and 40s, you can't identify as queer. That's not what I'm saying. But it's almost like a safer like thing to be like, and it's also could be considered very trendy to be like, hey, you know, I'm just queer. I don't want to be labeled. This is not what, and then the older you get more comfortable with who you are, and you start that. I feel like that's kind of what the research shows. You get more comfortable with how you want to be labeled, and you stick to that label, and also the outcome, your experiences in the world become very different than when you say queer.
It could be. It could also be like not necessarily like as you age, you pick a different label. It could be we have a whole group of young guys who are going to identify as queer for their whole lives. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in some ways, maybe queer does feel more safe because it's more nebulous, because it doesn't lock you into experiencing biphobia. Because people, now if you say my sexual orientation is queer, then people aren't exactly sure what that means in terms of who you have sex with. So maybe it's easier to be open. Maybe that's why we're seeing them be more open about their sexual orientation. It could also be that they are more engaged with the LGBT and queer community because we're seeing more community engagement with them. So it could be that because they have more community engagement, because they have more social support, maybe that's why they're more comfortable being open. Mm-hmm. So it could be a cohort thing. It could be like younger people are so much more comfortable with more flexible attitudes towards sexual orientation. And we see that. We see the difference. Like, you know, 3-year-olds can understand what being gay means. They can understand what being trans means. Mm-hmm. Better than like some people in their 50s can and 40s can.
Yeah. So would you say it seems to me like bisexual people and gay people are, it seems to me like it just seems that it would make sense that they're not as involved in creating that community. It's like they've kind of bounced out of the idea and they kind of come in and out of it, you know, whereas queer people seem more open to discovering, on one hand, let's talk about it all. Let's be all inclusive of it all. But I wonder sometimes, is that really the case?
Well, I mean, gay men were a huge part of forming the community mm-hmm. that queer men are a part of and are kind of supporting. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's hard. I know, like, definitely when we look at like the LGBTQ, like that section of like the rainbow, I know that we have a lot of bi erasure. So like, there's a lot of like,
mm-hmm. Big time.
Bisexual men don't often get to participate in the community because the community, I know a lot of lesbian women complain about this as well. Like, even though like they're the first letter in the set, mm-hmm. They are often like, there are fewer spaces for lesbian women to occupy. So I definitely can't discount gay men from the community because they're definitely like they're super active in the community. But it may be that the younger guys who identify as queer are kind of like supporting it and are becoming more and more visible in the community and more. I mean, who knows what we'll see in 10 years? Maybe like kind of the gayborhoods will be the queerborhoods.
Yeah, true, and. It might be a thing, like a good turn, you know, it might be a good thing, who knows, because you're saying that, you know, and it's obvious that there's not a lot of spaces for lesbians. And I wonder sometimes why. I wonder why. Is it because, you know, is it only because gay men are so dominant in the community? they dominate so much space within the community? Or is it just we are made up differently as far as you know, wanting to socialize and you know, gay men are maybe less committal, or I don't know. Is this like a factor?
I guarantee that that way smarter people than me have written really amazing things on this. So I don't want to pretend to at all be an expert on this because I know I have seen like really amazing think pieces on this that talk about like some of the like gender inequality issues, some of the like societal acceptance of like lesbian women versus gay men. I think it's really complicated.
Yeah. yeah, it is. It's very complicated. And, you know, who can really say? I mean, the term queer that people think they know the definition of, you know, you're finding, no, there is no definition. There is no real definition. You know,
qualitative work on this, you know, like having more conversations with queer people to figure out, you know, because you have to, I mean, that's the beautiful thing with qualitative work. It gives you a chance to talk to people and then, you know, compare people's responses and see if are there things in common, because I'm sure that for a lot of queer people, their definitions will be slightly different, but I know there's got to be common themes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's an evolving word. It used to mean something very different, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And,
yeah,
you know, we've come to this point and who knows where it's going. So before we wrap up, is there any other anything else that you think that we should cover as far as this topic?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think we've covered a lot of stuff. I think that there's a queer guys experience a lot of benefits because of that social support. That social support is so important, and that community engagement. But I mean, they're still not in a perfect situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, they're still experiencing more everyday discrimination, and they do experience more sexual coercion when they hook up with other guys. Mm-hmm. So they're still, identifying as, let's say you're a bisexual guy and you're like, okay, that's it. Like, you've convinced me, I'm switching my label to queer so people will be more accepting and I can be more engaged in the community. I mean, it's not, there's still like a lot of this data, like this is pure like number driven. And so I don't know why we're seeing these differences.
And you don't know why the bi and gay man lose interest in being called queer, you know, in deciding I want to be gay. Is it because they want to belong to one sort of community? And with bi people, it seems like there isn't really much of a community as there would be for gay men or queer people. So they're kind of, you know, doing their own thing, trying to be true to themselves, trying to mingle into these community, gay, well, especially the gay male community. And, you know, sometimes gay men will find that very hot. And sometimes they're like, I would never date somebody who's bisexual. I would never attempt to be with somebody who's bisexual because maybe they're looking the other way when they're with me, and all these insecurities that come with that label. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For being here and sharing your research. And would you like to just let everybody know what your PhD is in?
Sure, yes. Oh, maybe I should have said that at the start. Oh, well. So I have a PhD in applied social psychology. So that means that what I try to do is apply social psychology theories in applied settings. And my specialty is in health psychology. So often my research is applied to trying to understand and find ways to improve people's sexual health and their sexual health practices.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And thank you so much for the work that you do. And Shayna Sparling, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So thank you all for tuning in to Queer at Heart. And I hope you enjoyed the segment.